let's talk about something fun, like Honey Pearl Productions. Connie Keene, you are the founder of Honey Pearl Productions. Let's say that before we talk about the upcoming performance or the upcoming show and the real reason that you're here, give us a little background on the production company as a whole. How long have you been around?
Yes. Yeah. We're pretty new. We had our first kind of, do we want to form an organization meeting in the summer of 2024? And now less than 2 years later, we're two shows in, which really does feel like a miracle. We have a newsletter and I wrote a newsletter post that will go out later today. And I was reflecting on that. I mean, it's just wild how we're two shows in less than 2 years later when we thought maybe we can pull one off. And now we're planning for the third. So we did The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe around Easter season in 2025. And then early this year, Cheaper by the Dozen, which opened the last weekend of January, first weekend of February to kick off 2026, was our second production. And now 1776, which we always knew when we did The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, I thought 1776 would be our second show, assuming we were successful with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. So Cheaper by the Dozen was sort of a bonus addition because things went so well. We thought, well, we don't want to wait over a year until we do show number two. So 1776 will be our first musical, which is really where I shine and thrive. I mean, musicals are my bread and butter. So I've been waiting to get my teeth on a musical, and it's just going to be so fun with the holiday, 250 years. I mean, obviously we did this on purpose. It fits the season and it will be super fun.
Sesquicentennial or something like that for the upcoming, the 250th anniversary of 1776.
I don't even know how to pronounce that word either. So okay. I've just been saying 250. 250. I can say that.
Yes. The musical itself is from what the, I guess it looks like the 70s, the late 60s. And music and lyrics by Sherman Edwards, book by Peter Stone, a fairly famous production.
It was turned into a movie. It's been revived on Broadway several times. Recently, it was revived with an all-female cast. So there's been lots of different takes and iterations of this this show, and it seems to stand the test of time. You know, it keeps coming back.
You mentioned that you're particularly attracted to musicals. What is your history with the musical form?
That's what I grew up doing. When I was a theater kid, it was basically exclusively musicals that we did, that our community theater did. Well, there was a couple different community theater orgs, but the one that worked the most with kids and young people, we did musicals. And I was, I've been in choir, I've been in band. So the music combined with the acting, and I'm a singer as well. So musicals are what I love, though I have come to appreciate the straight play more too, having directed a couple, though I always end up infusing music and dance into those because I just can't help myself.
You did. I know in the last one, I think you kind of, you kind of wrote a whole prologue to the, the play that was not spoken, but sort of a musical prologue.
Yeah. And there was a ballet, duet in there. And so I just can't help myself. When I think of stories, I'm always putting music to them in my head. Even if I'm reading a book sometimes or, hearing a story being told on the radio, I'm thinking about it often in terms of what would the music be. And that's just, I guess, my kind of brand as a storyteller.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the reason you're here is to announce that auditions are now open.
Yes, auditions are open, and they are in a couple weekends from now. March 21st is when we have auditions. People can just walk in. The auditions are taking place at New Song Bible Church out in Sagal, but you can go to our website and sign up too, which we'd prefer because we'd like to have your name and a little bit of information about you before you show up. And it is a group audition, meaning that you do not have to prepare a monologue, which is a little different than the way some things sometimes go here. And I hope that relieves some stress from people. They don't have to have a monologue prepared. They don't have to have a song prepared. All they have to do is show up and be ready to learn. We will have our music director there, Katie Skidmore, and she will teach a section of a song. And then if you don't want to sing by yourself, you don't have to. You can audition by singing with someone else. And if you're willing to sing solo, then you can sing solo and go for, you know, a larger role in the play. And we're sectioning it off men and women. So the male audition is at 10 a.m. and the women will come at 2 o'clock for their audition.
Okay. Let's see. The audition is, at New Song Bible Church, which is down in Sagal, which is, that's the one that's right off.
It's right. Everyone knows right? what it is. Yeah. You say it's right. You see the playground every time you drive in.
It's,
yeah.
Yeah. It's the one right off 95. But more importantly, you can go to the website to sign up.
Exactly.
Okay. Yep. And the website again is
honeypearlproductions.com and /auditions is where you can get all the information. So we have more information about how auditions will work, but also the schedule, what you can expect, what the time commitment will be, some of the other things that we're offering. You know, accessibility is very important to me. And we heard that children are somewhat restrictive in people being able to do these things. And so we're actually offering childcare for this play because it's mainly an adult cast.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got littles, you know, you can, and it's mainly men too. So I think men feel bad a lot of the times in this community. Men might be the ones that are the, you know, away working and mom's at home with the kids. And then if dad comes home and he says, well, you've been with the kids all day, but now I'm going to go to play rehearsal. Have fun.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily a great sell. So, you know, dad can bring the kids with him to rehearsal. And that's been the trend with all of our shows, actually. Lots of kiddos running around. There's the playground. There's space indoors. And so kids can sit there and watch the rehearsal if they want to. And they can also just run around, have fun, and, you know, fellowship with other children there. So trying to be extremely family friendly. And that's been important to us from the beginning.
Yeah. Well, that's great. We're in conversation here with Connie Keene. She's the founder of Honey Pearl Productions. And the upcoming play is 1776. And you're looking for who to audition for this play?
So it's, you know, about the founding of the country, the signing of the Declaration of Independence. So very male heavy cast, which is mm-hmm. unique in the community theater world. First of all, a lot of times community theaters don't have enough men to do a show that's going to be very male heavy. But there's just not that many shows that are that way. And growing up doing plays myself, I never did. This will be the first time I do a male heavy show. I've done show casts where it's a mix of both or leaning towards women. I've never done one that's really male focused. So that's going to be a unique experience. So men, and we're saying 15 years and older. So, you know, older boys can also mm-hmm. audition. And there's limited roles for women. There's only two parts for women. Martha Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson's wife, and Abigail Adams, John Adams's wife, though we are also accepting women who are interested in pants roles, meaning you would play a man, you know, you'd wear the suit that the men wear and portray a man on stage. So if you're a lady and you're willing and interested in that, you can go for that as well. So you can audition for Martha or Abigail and then say, hey, but if I don't get one of those parts, I'd be willing to take a pants role. And we would consider you for that as well. But we're asking that women be 20 years and older. There's a couple parts that are explicitly younger for men. There's a courier, and I think probably as you and most of the listeners know, you know, soldiers could be quite young back in those days. And so, you know, casting a teen would be historically accurate in some of those parts.
Sure. What's the Johnny Tremaine is the famous book that I think we read in middle school or something like that. Yeah, the boy in the Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So the roles are, you've got Thomas Jefferson.
Yes.
You've got
Ben Franklin. So the lead
names
role,
that we would know. Household names that you names. Would.
Yes. Yeah. Though actually, I would say those are probably the, well, then John Hancock. Everybody knows his name. But the three, you know, John Adams is the lead. And then Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson are right behind him. And then the next biggest characters are Edward Rutledge and John Dickinson. So this play is very historically accurate. You know, all of these men were founding fathers. I would just say John Dickinson and Edward Rutledge are not, you know, the household names that some of those other guys are. John Hancock is in it.
Yeah.
George Washington is not in it. He's mentioned. They talk about him off fighting the war, but he's not in it. Alexander Hamilton, not in it. James Madison, not in it. So some of the other names that people have asked me about, they actually are not in it. Samuel Adams is not in it. He's mentioned, John, your cousin, you know, couldn't make it, but he's not in it. So definitely the big three, Franklin, Adams, Jefferson, and John Hancock are probably the biggest names that everybody kind of knows that are in this show. But we've got lots of, and I've learned so much. I mean, doing this, having to do some research and like, who is this guy? I know he signed the Declaration, but what was he about? So that's been super fun and kind of a surprising element that I didn't think about when we decided to do the show.
Yeah. I've never seen the play. I've heard of it, of course. It's a famous play. 1776. Does it take place all in 1776?
Yep. Okay. Yep. It's just the kind of the final days before the Declaration actually gets signed.
Yeah. A fascinating period of history. And do you have a favorite? Okay, two questions. Do you have a favorite founding father or founding person in the American, in the founding of the United States of America? And do you have a favorite character in this play?
So I have been kind of obsessed with George Washington since I was a kid. Uh-huh. It always fascinated me that he was offered to be king and said no. I mean, how many men or women would do that throughout history? And obviously, as my dad used to say, he's just he would use colorful language, but he would basically say George Washington was a tough dude. Uh-huh. I mean, this guy started fighting wars when he was a teenager himself. And so I've always admired him for turning down power, which just isn't a thing that you see in history very frequently. But I've come to really be fascinated with John Dickinson because of this play, because John Dickinson didn't vote for independence. And he was against it for a variety of reasons. He thought it would tear everything apart. He had concerns about, you know, the South and slavery and a lot of these topics that we've talked that have been talked about a lot and recent conversations. But John Dickinson went on to be the only founding father that freed his slaves while he was still alive. So it just goes to show, too, how people are nuanced and they change and they evolve. And John Dickinson was not down with freeing the slaves originally and not down with, you know, declaring independency. But then he went on to embody freedom in every way. And he came around and he helped write the Constitution. I mean, just a really fascinating guy. And I've thought, why doesn't he get more attention in our history books? So it's been fun to learn about him.
I'm going to have to look him up. I mean, it's a name that is familiar to the ear, maybe, but I confess that I don't know that much about him.
No, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't either.
Let's see. The play is, you know, I mean, it's a dramatic period in history, and you kind of it's a little surprising that it's musical. It's not, you know, it's not a dramatic
right
play.
I'll say it's very silly too. So it's serious subject matter, but this is comedic. I mean, there's serious moments and there's lots of laughs. And so people have been surprised by that too. I've had a couple of people say, I listened to the soundtrack and it's quite funny. And I said, yeah, there's definitely a humor element. I am one for the giggles too. So if I'm picking a play just in general, it's probably going to have some silly elements because I'm a big fan of silly.
Let's see. We're looking right now, or you're speaking right now, looking for people to audition for this play, mainly men. And what kind of commitment are you kind of asking for from these guys?
Yeah, so unlike our other productions, which we had rehearsals 3 days a week, we're doing a shorter overall timeline, but having rehearsals 4 days a week. And like I said, you can go to our website and the schedule's right there. So you can see if you're John Adams, you're called to every rehearsal. So you're the lead. You're going to be there a lot. But everybody else gets breaks, you know, are called two or three times a week generally. So for most people, they can expect two or three rehearsals a week and all the way up till we open, which is July 2nd is our opening night. So we're opening on a Thursday too, which is a little different. We usually open on a Friday. So the time commitment is for most people going to be about what it's always been, two or three rehearsals a week. John Adams, you're coming every day, brother. And but it's going to be worth it. I mean, that role is just a killer role.
Yeah. Auditions are? March 21st.
Mm-hmm. March 21st. You can sign up online. We've posted about it a million times on our Facebook page and social media and Instagram and stuff. So you can find it if you just look at anything Honey Pearl Productions, our website, our social media. You'll see the link a million times as to how you can sign up. And, you know, I would just encourage folks too, you don't have to have experience. This is community theater. So whether you're a seasoned singer, you were in choir, you've taken voice lessons, that's all great. Also, if you just like to sing in your car or in your shower, this would be a great opportunity to come out. There are no pure ensemble roles, meaning there are none of the kind of nameless people in the background. Everybody in the show has lines, which is kind of a unique thing too. Although, you know, there's smaller characters and bigger characters. Some speak more than others. So you don't have to sing solo, but everybody will get their moment in the spotlight, which is kind of cool too.
Cool. Let's see. The show is 1776. The actual production is going to be, this is kind of neat. You're opening on July 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to do a show on the 4th of July?
We are. We are doing a show on the 4th of July. And we also are going to have a pre-funk kind of charity dinner where you get music for that too at the Little Panada on the 4th of July as well. So you can, and the show's kind of a jazz show. So you can get two original American art forms, jazz and the American musical on one night. And that fundraiser dinner will not be a fundraiser for us. We're raising money for North Idaho veterans.
Wow. Well, I love this. This seems like this could be, we could add to the tradition of the 4th of July here in Sandpoint.
Yes. We're definitely going to be in that parade.
Yeah. You got the parade is going on, fireworks at City Beach. Now, there has always been sort of like a, what do you do in between question.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody does their own thing, but having something like this, it seemed a little community focused. I think this seems great. Are you going to try and end the play right as the fireworks are going off?
I should. I really should. I was like, we should fire off a cannon or something at the end of it. But
Do something like that. Well, Connie, before we, let's see, I'll try and find a song or something from 1776. Do you have any particular favorites that we should play over the air?
The Egg is kind of a fun one. That's Thomas Jefferson and John Adams and Ben Franklin singing about the birth of a nation.
Okay.
And they're, you know, comparing it to an egg. So that's kind of a fun one.
Okay. I'll look for that. And in the meantime, coming up on your, this will be the third production, the first musical. What have you learned? What's changed for Honey Pearl Productions since it was just a brainchild of yours?
Oh my goodness. What's changed? You know, I think in the beginning, I underestimated how much I would actually enjoy it. I knew I would enjoy it, but having been an actor mainly before, I wasn't sure if I'd like directing as much, you know, if I'd kind of have, you know, be jealous of the people up on stage, like, oh, I wish I was up there. And of course, I would still love to be back on stage again at some point. But I have truly just loved being behind the scenes. And I underestimated the impact that it has on people. I mean, the actors and the creatives that get to participate, the cards that they write me and tell, like, we're so grateful that we've had this experience and thank you to the whole team. And I mean, it could bring a tear to your eye. And that's just the power of art, you know, the performing arts and what this does for people. I thought we'd just be a fun experience and people would go on with their lives. But, you know, people are telling us that, like, these experiences have changed my life. And I did not necessarily see that coming.
Hmm. Have you been in any of the productions you've done so far?
I haven't. I might
end up just behind the stage.
Right. Yeah. I might end up being in this one if we need it. This is kind of funny, but, you know, Thomas Jefferson and Martha Jefferson, one of the bits of the show, which I think the show actually is ultimately about marriage and what it means to be married to a great man and the sacrifices that families make for the greater good. But Martha Jefferson and Thomas Jefferson are kind of young newlyweds and they're all over each other and they got a kiss. I mean, it's just part of the play. They got a kiss. Mm-hmm. And we have had a lot of people that are not comfortable with that, which is totally fine. Everyone has their own, you know, their values and their standards, and that we absolutely respect that. But I may have to step in and be Martha Jefferson just because the kissing is a part of the script. Like, it's, they joke about it, how they're all over each other.
Uh-huh.
So, and it's tasteful and everything. It's not gross or anything like that, but it's actually funny. It's a comedy bit in the show, but I gotta have people that can kiss. So, you know, if I can't get ladies and guys that are willing to do that, I might have to step in and take one for the team.
Would this be, are you, do you have somebody in mind for Thomas Jefferson already?
Probably my husband, if it was me. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's not the goal necessarily, but we have talked about it. Like, we might have to do that because, yeah, we gotta have the kissing.
You gotta have that in there. Okay. Well, we're gonna play a little excerpt from the film version of 1776, and I will play the egg. This is just the song, and back in a minute, talking to Linda Navarre from the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force. They have an upcoming grant that they want to present to you here on the airwaves. Connie, anything else in closing? Let's give the date and contact information one more time.
Sure. So our website is honeypearlproductions.com. And you can go to honeypearlproductions.com/auditions for more information. There's also an auditions tab at the top of the website. So pretty easy to find. Auditions are March 21st. That's a Saturday. Men audition at 10 o'clock and women audition at 2. If you have scheduling issues, just reach out to me. We're flexible. We can potentially swap you to the other group if you do have to work or something like that. And women, even if women are going for a pants role, they still will audition at 2 o'clock. And walk-ins are welcome, though we prefer that you sign up ahead of time.
Okay. Connie Keen, founder of Honey Pearl Productions and director of 1776, thanks for talking to us this morning.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
What sort of bird shall we choose as the symbol of our new America?
The eagle. The dove. The turkey. The eagle. The dove. The eagle.
The eagle. The turkey.
The eagle is a majestic bird.
The eagle is a scavenger, a thief, and a coward. A symbol of over 10 centuries of European mischief.
The turkey?
The turkey is a truly noble bird. Native American, source of sustenance of our original settlers. An incredibly brave fellow who will not flinch at attacking a regiment of Englishmen single-handedly. Therefore, the national bird of America is going to be...
The eagle.
The eagle.
We're waiting for the chirp, chirp, chirp of an eaglet being born, waiting for the chirp, chirp, chirp on this humid Monday morning in this congressional incubator.
God knows the temperature's hot enough to hatch a stone, let alone an egg.
We're waiting for the scratch, scratch, scratch of that tiny little fellow, waiting for the egg to hatch on this humid Monday morning in this congressional incubator. God knows the temperature's hot enough to hatch a stone,
but will it hatch an egg?
Well, there you go. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. That was a little excerpt from the film 1776. The musical is going to be presented over 4th of July weekend by Honey Pearl Productions. And you can be in the cast by going to their website. And auditions are March 21st. So now moving on. To other matters and other people. We're talking now to Linda Navarre. Welcome, 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 Linda.
Thank you, Jack. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good morning to your listeners.
How was your how were you affected by the windstorm last night, if at all?
I just liked listening to it.
Yeah.
Liked is kind of an odd word, but
yeah. No major trees down or anything like that?
No, just some major branches, but nothing damaging.
Power stayed on?
To the best of my knowledge. No clocks were flashing.
My coffee maker didn't turn on this morning. I had it set to an automatic thing, and it didn't kick in. I know. It's tough. But other than that, no major problems in my house either. The radio station stayed on all night. It was
good.
I was kind of prepared for the worst, and it didn't turn out quite that bad. School, though, is canceled, so The students are at home, probably most of them listening to us right now.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Linda, you are the president of the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force.
That's correct.
Okay. How long you've been a member for how long and president for how long?
I've been a member since the beginning, and I've been president for 3 years, I think.
Okay.
The beginning being 1992 or 93.
Which was especially in North Idaho, heady days, I guess.
Yes. It began with a large meeting with people coming from up from Coeur d'Alene, and Bill Wasmuth and Tony Stewart, Dan McLaughlin, people that started the task force, Buzz and Kate Arndt, and many more, and having a meeting with clergy regarding, in the middle school gym, which filled up, regarding the Aryan Nations and their goal to move north. And they were there also, but when they saw the crowd of, I think it was 650 people, they decided that maybe Bonner County wasn't the next place to land.
Yeah. That meeting in the middle school gym was the birth, I guess, of the Human Rights Task Force.
Yep.
And has been in existence in some form or another ever since. And I don't know any, I think though, you know, those early days, especially, you know, in the 90s when, Bonner County was, or not just Bonner County, but all of, you know, North Idaho was more, in the national news and also in the, I guess just sort of in the consciousness, as headquarters of, the Aryan Nations was the official organization, the white supremacist, you know, sentiment, I guess, is in more in general, North Idaho being a hotspot of that kind of, that sort of politics, that sort of activity. And, the Human Rights Task Force founded in opposition to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's sad to think that we became such a hotspot, because the group in Hayden consisted of anywhere from 15 to 30 people.
Mm-hmm.
They just received a lot of attention.
Yeah. It wasn't a huge group, but it was, yeah, well publicized.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about today a little bit more. Moving on from the organization's founding, consistently active ever since, and a big part of what you do nowadays is provide grants to our community. For what, Linda?
Well, let me give you a little bit of history on the grants. We were the beneficiary with the Lake Pendere Alternative High School and with the animal shelter of a woman's estate when she passed away. She was a member, a very quiet member of our community. She lived up Rapid Lightning Creek, and her whole estate was divided between the three of us. And we received a large endowment to put into savings so we could reap the benefits of the interest each year. So that's what we use for our grants.
Mm-hmm. So the grants come just from the interest, not from the principal of this.
Correct.
Generosity that you received.
Yes, from Mrs. Adler. She was wonderful.
Yeah. This is a detail not necessarily relevant to you, but you said that her estate went to you and also the alternative school, the LPO high school.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. And then the animal shelter.
Better together. Yep.
Yeah. Well, okay.
No, it was wonderful.
Yeah.
And sizable, because over the past few years, we've received $18,000 plus for grants. And this year it's over $19,000 for grants.
Wow.
The largest grant we give out is $8,000 down to $500, $1,000. So.
Okay. The grants are for what? Who should apply for these grants? And what should they try to do with the money that that you give out?
Well, we seek to fund projects and programs that support our mission, to affirm that the American principles and ideals and inviolable dignity and worth of each human being, and recognize that everyone is equal under state and federal laws and the Constitution. So we help sponsor activities that enhance human rights.
Mm-hmm. That could be, is that open to interpretation? How about, do you have any examples of grants that you've given out kind of in the past that people can look to?
I do.
Well, okay.
Last year, mm-hmm. we were given 17 grants to evaluate, mm-hmm. and we chose, I think, 9 or 10.
Linda, looking through her thick book of papers here for the...
I should have had... my list ready, but
well, I didn't warn you. Where you can did you find them?
Well, I found one.
Okay, yeah,
that
go
I
ahead.
Find dear to my heart. Food for mm-hmm. the children, mm-hmm. Specifically at different schools in our district, and my favorite longtime place of employment, Sandpoint Middle School.
Mm-hmm.
So children can take a bag of groceries home for the long weekends they have without enough snacks or food. So that is one thing that we've given money to.
I mean, I think that's worth noting there that that's, as far as an interpretation of kind of human rights, I certainly see it, but it's not like a straightforward, you know, oh, here's an an education project on the history of, you know, of human rights in some regard. This is right. This is actually going directly to feeding children. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've supported the food bank. We've support NAMI wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm. The National Alliance for Mental Illness.
Yes. Yes. Our local
the Far
clubhouse.
North branch. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go on.
We support a teen after-school program that's run in a building behind the middle school and also at the Lutheran Church.
Right. Yeah, the Sandpoint Teen Center.
Yes.
We've had them on. They do. And another good source of food and nutrition for the youth of our our area. That's they're very popular with teens, from what I understand, and the food that they cook is even more popular.
Yeah. The camaraderie, I would imagine.
Yeah, no, the Sandpoint Teen Center is pretty cool. We should have them back on as soon again as we can. They're worth talking to. So you're looking to give out these grants. Who should apply and when should they apply?
The deadline for grant applications is April 30th.
Okay.
You can apply with the application on our Bonner County Human Rights Task Force website. The applications are made through that website directly to the Idaho Community Foundation. And you will look for the Bonner County Endowment for Human Rights.
Okay. The Bonner County Endowment for Human Rights. And
correct.
Who's eligible for this grant?
Anyone that meets our mission.
Okay. So individuals and also nonprofits and...
Correct.
Yeah. Anybody. And you're looking to fund projects of some kind.
Not
so much general operations or staffing, but a specific, you're trying to meet a specific need.
Right. We've funded Music Bridges Borders frequently as they bring students from Mexico and share a music camp with them in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
We've funded Living Voices through POAC. Things like that.
Yeah. Cool. We're talking to Linda Navarre. She's the president of the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force. Let's see. And specifically about the upcoming grant window that is open right now, closes April 30th.
Yes. And please look on our website, as it's a far better explanation than I can give.
Okay. Yes, you'll find out more information on the website, which is, do you know off the top of your head?
BCRTaskForce at gmail.com.
That's our
email for questions, but the website.
I can find
Jack.
It. Okay.
Help me out here.
Bonner County Human Rights. It can't be that hard to find. Yeah. BCHRTF, Bonner County Human Rights Task Force. It's BCHRTF.org.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah. It's a lot shorter than having to spell out all those words.
True.
Okay. So there's your website, BCHRTF.org. And let's talk about what else is coming up? What's in the forecast for the Human Rights Task Force?
Well, our scholarship cycle is also open for any student going on to further their education after their time in high school, homeschool. And that closes April 10th. And they can also apply to those scholarships through our website. And that's a lot of fun to read scholarship applications from our amazing local students. Also, we have a wonderful film coming up. We will be at the Panada on April 16th with the documentary Carla the Rescuer. And Carla Pepperzak worked with the Dutch Resistance during World War II. She is a spry 102 years old. She actually has a middle school named after her in Spokane. She also went to school with Anne Frank's sister. And she is amazing. Her daughter lives here. Her granddaughter and great-granddaughter also. And we're hoping that some of them or all of them will be on stage. Depending on Carla's schedule, she hopes to be here. She came several years back and did a presentation in the auditorium at the Sandpoint High School that was packed. She's amazing. Amazing.
Carla Pepperzak. Okay.
Yes.
She's the subject of the film. And a somewhat local resident, and still with us at 102.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes, yes, yes.
And the film is about her experience during. The film is called Carla the Rescuer. I guess. I haven't seen it. What are they talking about?
She talks about her experiences with. Being able to have the J removed from her papers so that she could be a resident of the Netherlands and safely move here and there, and then she became involved in the resistance. Her family didn't really know much about it for many, many years. So the interviews include her family members, and they talk about her coming to terms with sharing her activities, and quite amazed at her strength and resilience.
Yeah. The film is Carla the Rescuer, and it's on April 16th at the Panada.
Yes, at 7 mm-hmm. o'clock. And please go to the Panada website. It's mm-hmm. described there, and also purchase your tickets. It's $5 a ticket, and you can get them on the website.
Well, okay. It is going to be an interesting event. The film itself is a feature length?
No, it's more an hour and a half.
Okay. But then a Q&A to follow.
Yes, and the director mm-hmm. or the producer will be here also.
Okay. And some members of the family.
Yes.
And possibly even Carla herself, but yes. not guaranteed. But yeah, people who can speak informatedly on the subject matter.
Yes, her daughter. And if her granddaughter is willing to come, she's very willing in the film. And Marion, her daughter, said, well, maybe we could get her husband to come up on stage. And many of us in the community know her husband, the granddaughter's husband, as Ryan Knowles, our Sandpoint High School football coach.
Aha. Okay.
Yes.
Well, then we can talk about the Bulldogs a little bit. Then.
Yes.
Okay. Good deal. let's see. We're talking to Linda Navarre, president of the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force, about an upcoming event on April 16th. Carla the Rescuer, the name of the film, and with the Q&A to follow with the subject herself and or members of her family, as well as the producer. The Human Rights Task Force is also, besides you've got grants, scholarships, this event coming up. Anything else you want to bring to our attention before we talk about other or, you know, go further into conversation?
Well, we had a wonderful packed event at the Methodist Church last Saturday afternoon with area pastors discussing the separation of church and state.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very well attended. And a professor who is on our board did a short PowerPoint to introduce the different aspects of Christian nationalism. Mm. And then the pastors had questions that they each answered and discussed one at a time. And it was a well-run, timed event. So everybody, it just went very smoothly and people learned a lot.
I just saw the flyer for it this week after the event had passed, unfortunately. So I didn't manage to attend. But who, were you there, Linda?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you take away? Learn anything in particular interesting about that subject?
Well, the mainstream, so to speak, clergy members, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Methodist, Episcopal, Quaker, they are based on the Bible. They're Christian religions, but they also have a wide organization and bylaws
mm-hmm.
and rules and regs. And some of the churches that are more extreme, for instance, the church that is in Moscow, they really encourage only one vote from the home, women at home, children at home, no government control. And those kind of things are not pushed as strongly in some religions, but others they are. And in the mainstream religions, they believe there's a large and necessary division between what Jesus would do and how certain people interpret the Old Testament specifically. But
yeah,
they really believe that people's belief systems, including other belief systems besides Christianity, do not belong in our schools and our government.
Yeah, which it is, it turns out to be a divisive issue, I guess. Or
yes.
Not universally held, that that belief that the in the separation of church and state.
No, the main push with the Christian nationalist dogma is that this become a totally Christian nation. And there aren't that many countries in the world that have a national religion. And that is not something we were founded on. Our Constitution states that pretty darn clearly.
Yeah, funny that we were just before the before you came on, we were just talking about the musical 1776, talking about the the anniversary of the founding and that that separation of church and state idea. So, you know, elemental to the founding of the country. So, I mean, it always something that you think about when thinking about those, those early days. It sounds like a fascinating talk or a fascinating forum that was held. And as you said, well attended. Any plans to follow up on that? Do another event in that vein at all?
Well, we are having a further discussion on Saturday morning at the Friends Meeting House on Main and Alder from 9 to 11 for anyone that wants to ask more questions or discuss things that they learned. You can sign up for that on our website. Also, Catherine Lyle, the Methodist pastor and also interim Presbyterian pastor, is a spitfire, and she will probably be looking at more forums like this because it was so successful, so well received, and well organized.
That will be so there will be something to look ahead to on the topic, but nothing on the calendar right now except for the
follow-up discussion.
Again, that follow, is that open to anyone or just those who attended the first event?
I would hope that people that attended the first event would be there to discuss what they learned and possibly share with anyone else that would like to attend.
Mm-hmm.
The meeting house is rather small. That's why we are limiting the registration to 25.
Okay. And you can register again on the website.
Yes.
bchrtf.org.
Yes.
Well, okay. Well, Linda, it's almost 9 o'clock. Once more, we're talking about, you got a film coming up on April 16th, film and Q&A, a full presentation, documentary that's at the Panada on Thursday night, April 16th, Carla the Rescuer, open to the public. And also open to the public is the application process anyway for your grants and scholarships. Scholarships through the 10th of April, right?
Yes.
Did I get that right? Okay. And then the general grants, you're looking to give away money to people who are interested in serving human rights.
Yes.
Okay. Through the end of April. So all of it is on the website, bchrtf.org.
And we also always have a booth at the farmer's market, so on the corner. And you're welcome to stop by and speak with people of like mind or join our task force, a lifetime membership for $1.
Hey.
And you will receive a newsletter every other month.
Okay.
Via email.
For a mere dollar. that's starting up the farmers market in, I think, less than 2 months now.
In May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're March, April, May.
Yep.
Beginning of May.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting ready? Is the table ready?
We're ready.
Okay. You're ready for it.
We're ready.
Okay. Very good. Linda Navarre, thanks so much for coming in, talking to us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
It's time now for Bird Note, and tomorrow will be North Idaho News of the Week at 8 o'clock in the morning. And then next week, all week long at 8 o'clock in the morning, your regularly scheduled Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday morning programming. On Tuesday night, I will just highlight one more time, in case you haven't heard, we are having the little live radio hour on Tuesday night. That is St. Patrick's Day, the 17th. And this will be the first time that the third Tuesday of the month, when we host our live radio show, will fall on St. Patrick's Day. And so, in honor of the occasion, we've got two bands, Brendan Kelty, Andy Ulrich, and Chloe Davis, plus Bridges Home, a lot of Celtic music and Celtic-inspired music in there. And I believe we're going to have some limericks from local poets. How about that? 7 p.m. at The Hive, if you want to attend in person, and I hope you will. You can also listen, of course, here on the radio station, however you listen to Panhandle Community Radio. Thanks for listening to The Morning Show. Time now for Bird Note and Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long. Thanks again, Linda, for coming in.
Thank you.
And my thanks again to Connie Keene from Honey Pearl Productions for coming in for the first part of this half hour. And tune in next week to find out what Jim Healy has been up to in his absence. Here we go.